Please move ahead. Come close. I can come here also this way. Hare Krishna. So on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I would like to welcome all of you today for coming and participating in this Chetna festival, which is for all of you. We're very, very grateful to you because on a Saturday evening, you spared some time to come here, be here, and to participate in a festival which is very unique, right? There are college festivals happening everywhere, right? Youth festivals happening everywhere, right? But this is unique. This is a festival, but with a difference. Yes? So today, the topic that we will be discussing for the next few minutes is unearth the life's greatest treasure. There's a very nice drama which the girls put up. You all liked it? Yeah. Talking about treasure. Yeah? Treasure and treasure hunt is a very fascinating thing. Right? It has so much of, even you know, when you are young and you read stories and all about finding treasure. Yeah? It's very fascinating. I remember that when I was young, when I was in school basically, and my grandmother used to always, she used to tell, you know, how grandmothers are, they tell you stories about. So she would always tell us a story about one lady was in a village, you know, a native place, around 100 years back. And this was a story that everybody believed in the village. And most of them had seen this, that there was a fisherwoman, and once there was a flood. This is around 100 years back in that area. This is in Karnataka, near Udupi. There was a flood. And in that flood, suddenly when those waves of those, you know, flood was just entering the village, near this fisherwoman, a huge pot of treasure came. They call it something like kopparige. So this was like, and we would be fascinated hearing this story. She got this treasure, and it was something like nobody could, you know, touch it like that. She could just keep it, and she actually kept, and people who were living at that time actually saw it, that this treasure was something which she could keep near a house, but nobody could touch it because somehow there would be some snakes who would be guarding it. So if anyone goes and touches it, then they would inevitably get a snake bite. So people in that area knew it, and some amazing thing about that treasure was, which this lady possessed, was that if anyone in the village needed something, was in desperate, you know, poverty, then they just had to go near that pot of treasure and, you know, request. And the next day, they would find this gold coins there near the treasure. So this story, when she used to tell us when you were, you know, small, was so fascinating. You know, you would just think, wow, you know, oh, I wish we also got some pot of treasure, huh? Like that. So the word treasure actually evokes a lot of, you know, excitement. But what we will be discussing today is something just more than imagination, something more than just some story. It is something which will be applicable in all of our lives. Yes? So, it will not be just one-sided. I would rather love if all of us participate. Yeah? Because this treasure hunt was not just in the drama, but we are all going to start hunting now. Yes? Is that okay? Everyone agrees? Okay. So, first we'll start off trying to understand, what do we mean by treasure? What is the general understanding of treasure? Yeah? Sorry? Lots of money and jewelry. Okay, yes. Anything else? That was quite apt. Yeah? That basically it means valuables. Yeah? Something very valuable, with something very precious that one possesses. That is called as a treasure. Right? And treasure is very synonymous with wealth. Like she said, money, jewelry, this is all wealth. Yeah? So how do you define wealth? Any English students here? English literature? It's not an exam, so just relax. Even those who are not English literature can answer this. How would you define? Just think about it. What do you think? How would you define wealth? Lots of love. Okay. You don't need to? Money to buy anything. That's very close to the definition. Things in exchange of money. Yes. It's the definition, very, very nicely put, actually, all of you, is that wealth is basically a facility which offers one the power to purchase something which is of value. Yeah? So it is a facility and the possession of which you can purchase something of value. Yeah? So just remember this definition because we'll go back to it through our presentation. Yeah? So what is it? It is basically a facility which offers the power to purchase something of value. Yeah? Something of value, not anything. Yeah? So money is basically, wealth is synonymous with money. Means if you have more money, that means what you can do? You can purchase more valuable things. Correct? Higher the money that you have, more wealthy you are, that means you can purchase more valuable things. Correct? And the present situation, how is money, how is wealth available? As money. But what is money in the form of? Paper. Correct? It's paper money. But the more paper money you have, the best of cars you can get, the best of houses you can get, right? The best of whatever objects you want, right? But it is paper. Yeah? But if just paper is taken, does it have any value? Yeah? If I am very hungry and I come to your house and you say, oh, Atiji, I'm very rich, I'm very rich. Just see how much money I have. Yeah? But I am very hungry. By just looking at that paper, will it satisfy my hunger? Yeah? I start eating the paper, will it satisfy my hunger? No. It's paper. Yeah? But it is valuable. Why? It can't satisfy your hunger. Then why is it valuable? Because you can purchase something valuable. Right? So it's only the purchasing capacity of that is valuable. The thing in itself is not valuable. If you're sick and you need medicines, can you just take that paper money and eat it? Or apply it? No. Earlier, now it's paper money, but earlier it was what? Gold. Right? Gold also, the same thing. Right? If I'm hungry, I can't eat gold coins. It's not going to satisfy my hunger. The thing in itself has no value. But what it can get is what gives it value. Yeah? So this is basically the concept. And it is so powerful in purchasing that people are addicted to it. Yes? Because the more I have, that means more I can have something. I can get something. Right? So that is why they say what? Money is sweeter than honey. Louder. My ears are not functioning properly. So money is sweeter than honey. And they also say that when money talks, everyone walks. Yes? You can get any work done. Have the money, so people, things, everything can be done. Right? So this is basically the understanding of wealth, or treasure or money. Yeah. So we go to the next stage where we said, so why are people so desirous of having, acquiring money? Why? Lead a luxurious life. Yes. So why they want to lead a luxurious life? Sorry? To get happiness. To get happiness. But why they want to get happiness? Why they want to get happiness? That is our nature. Yes. So basically, the search for happiness, the promise for happiness is the one that pushes us to take for money, right? Everybody is searching. And everywhere this propaganda, right? Why otherwise in the early morning, everybody, you know, you see the Virar Churchgate local. It is, probably hell is also better than that, I don't know. Yeah. So difficult. People are actually, probably some are standing only on one toe. Right? Hanging, risking your life. Some are here, some are on the windows. Why? In search of what? It's the search that I will do this, then I will get some money. And then when I have this much money, then I will do this and I'll get more money. Yeah. And then my problems will end. Yes? Is that right? Everything finally goes to the point that this much, then more, then I'll be happy. Yes? And everywhere all around, the media, the newspapers, the billboards, what all do you see? Just take this. This is missing in your life. Just this air conditioner. Right? If this comes, then all problems are finished. Right? That's what, you know, all the commercials, all the advertisements, all the billboards are saying what? Just this one thing. Just this car. Yeah? Only this thing. So put all your, if you have this, then this is actually the treasure that you've achieved. Thus, you have this, then all problems finished. And it's so amazing that they put up this photograph or these billboards of a very happy husband, a very happy wife, and happy children, and they're all smiling, and you're just like this, just sitting in this car, and that's it. This life is just like a bed of roses. Yeah, isn't it? Isn't that how they portray that? Yes? All are commercials. Nobody says you buy this AC and then you'll become sad. Everybody's crying. They do that to show some other brand is, less. They're crying under one AC, then you take my AC, then you all start smiling. Yes? Or you use that toothpaste, and then, you know, you have bad problems, and then you use my toothpaste, everybody is smiling. Yes? And that's it. And this is bombarded again and again and again and again. Probably the first time you see it, you are not like, you know, ache or, you know, something else. But 15 times when you see that, then you really start feeling, I think this is the only thing that's missing in my life. Yeah? This is the wealth that I'm actually missing. Probably this is going to solve all my problems. Yes? Is it true? Yes. So everybody is actually, trying to remind us that, you know, this is what you're missing. Yeah? And that's the whole advertising sector. Yeah? So at the same time, again, there is also like, okay, if you can't buy it, it's fine. You have loans. And how by taking a loan you can be happy? Yeah? It's okay. You can't afford a car, no problem. Buy these loans. Just add this, that's it. And then all your problems are over. Right? And if after all that, still if you feel that you are satisfied, then they'll say, but what after retirement? Yeah? What after retirement? Then what are you going to have? So I was seeing some billboards where they're showing one old couple. They're sitting, have you seen this? They're sitting and sipping some cups of something, tea or coffee, and behind there's a beautiful like mountain and there are flowing rivers, and they say retirement. You can be happy like this. Yeah? If you buy this. Yeah? Yes? So you think, wow, this is so nice. That means I work hard now and I collect lots and lots of money and then I can be like this. Just sit in retirement and just relax. Yes? What a dream. Right? It's amazing, no? It's just so many plans. And then with that dream, with that promise, you just start, you know, day and night, you're putting your life's energy into building up this treasure, right? Collecting that treasure so that I can achieve this. Yes? Yeah? So what is that called? What race is it called that human civilization is running? What is it called? Louder? Rat race. Why is it called rat race? Why not dog race or cat race? Of course, it's called dog race also. But rat race. Why? Why? Sorry? Everyone is running. But why specifically rat race? Chased by someone? No. Because rats, when they're running, they don't really see where they're running. Okay? The rat runs because a rat in front is running. You understand? One rat is running because a rat in front is running, so I am running. I don't know where I am running, but the rat in front is running, so I am running. Okay? So that's why it's called as a rat race. Because the present civilization is that nobody thinks where I am running. Everybody is running because my favorite Bollywood actor is buying this, so I have to buy it. Why do you think they endorse all these products? Buy this soap, buy this shampoo, buy this tooth. Why? Oh, because that rat is running, so this rat will also run. Yes? Yeah? She's using that toothpaste, so I have to use that toothpaste. Yes? So that is why it's called as a rat race. Because you put your mind aside and just run. That's it. Huh? You know, they say, no? So many elders say, okay, why you have to be different? All your friends are going for some enjoyment. So why don't you too go there? You know, why you have to be different? Everybody is doing it, so you also do it. That means you put your human intelligence aside and just do what everybody is doing. That's why it's called as rat race. Yeah? So only when a human being thinks, where am I heading? Yeah? Is this the treasure that I'm heading for? Is this what I need in my life? That's a human being. Otherwise, it is a what race? Rat race. Yeah? There was a very beautiful small anecdote that once there was this very rich industrialist. Huh? He was traveling in his car. He was a heavy workaholic, just working day and night. And he had this industry here and there and offices here. And he's going all over the place with lots of money. So one day as he was driving, as busy as he was, he sees at the corner of a road, a small farm, and he sees this farmer in the afternoon. He's driving down in the afternoon, and he sees this farmer just lying under a tree, nicely relaxing. Huh? And this person, this wealthy man, just gets very irritated. He said, just look at this lazy person. Huh? Is this how you waste your time? Just look at me, I'm working so hard. And you know, people should really use their energy to work. Huh? Karma yoga. Huh? Just work, work. Yeah. So he says, he feels I should just give a little piece of advice to this. So he stops his car amidst his busy schedule because he wants to give really some intelligent advice to this guy. And he goes and he wakes up this farmer. He says, get up. What are you doing? Huh? Young and sturdy and you're just lying under this tree now. Why don't you just get up and go? Just look at me, how much I'm working. Huh? I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm earning so much. Why don't you do that? So that farmer gets up, rubbing his eyes, and he says, oh, really? But why are you doing that? Why are you, just working so hard? He said, I'm working hard so that I have lots of wealth, lots of money. She said, oh, but why? Why do you want lots of wealth and lots of money? She said, I can have all the facilities. Yeah? I have so many things. I can buy so many things. I can buy the best of houses and the best of cars. So he said, but why? Why do you want to buy? So he says, then I'll really enjoy. So they said, but then what will you do after that? After you enjoy, what will you do? So he thinks, because he never thought like that. He was just scratching his head and saying, what will I do? So then he says, oh, then after that, after I enjoy a lot, then after some time, I'll have a lot of money. So then I will take a big palatial house in the countryside. He said, oh, so then what will you do after that? He said, then it'll be very peaceful, very nice. I'll be just there in that house. He said, yeah, then what will you do? And then I'll have a beautiful garden outside my house and I'll just be so happy there. He said, then after that, what you'll do? He said, then what will I do? Then I will just, you know, be so relaxed. I'll just lie down in the garden, you know, just completely relaxed, free of all worries because I have a lot of money. So the farmer said, but that's the thing that I am doing now. I'm just lying here relaxed. Yeah? And you are going to go all this cycle, do all these things to achieve the very thing that I am doing now. It's like, you know, they say in India, no? Aise khane ka chhod ke aise. You go all the way like this. Yeah? Yeah? So, unless a human understands where am I heading, yeah, then he is just running in the rat race. Yes? So the point is that somewhere in our lives we need to just stop and think. Open our eyes wide open. Open our ears and use our very, very intelligent brains. Yes? Which we are gifted with as humans. To understand, what am I doing? Where am I heading? What is it that I want to achieve? Yes? So if we had to go by this logic, Shraddha Gopinath ki jai, that if I have lots of wealth and lots of pots of gold, then I will be very, very happy. That means that people who have lot of riches and who are very wealthy should actually be very, very happy. Yes? That means they should have no problems. That means they should be very peaceful. Yes? Isn't that, if that is a formula, that I have a lot of wealth, then I should be very happy. Yeah? So if that is a formula, then people who are very wealthy should be the most happiest. Right? It should be directly proportional. More wealth, wish me, more happy. But is that true? Is that true? Any examples? Let me stop thinking for some time. Maybe you should think. Any examples? Sorry? Bill Gates, he's not happy? Sorry? You'll have to say loudly. Vijay Mallya. We leave the story to the newspapers. So innumerable examples. Yeah, we just open our eyes, open our ears, and think logically. Then there are huge number of examples. Yeah, you may see there are people, a lot of business tycoons. If you just walk down the road, you are in South Bombay. There are a lot of industrialists who have huge mansions here, right? But does that mean that after having that huge mansion, they are very happy, peaceful? No. They have hours, like 20 hours a day, 22 hours a day, they are working. Why? Just to maintain what you have. Yeah? You get the treasure, but to maintain the treasure is double the work. Yeah? And more than that is the fear of losing what you have. Yes? That is anxiety. More anxiety than getting it. Getting the treasure is anxiety. But the fear of losing what we have is more anxiety. Huh? It is more anxiety. Right? So there are innumerable examples. In fact, there's a very famous example of a person called Howard Hughes. He was a wealthy, wealthy person in the United States. And he was so wealthy that, in fact, the people who used to maintain his accounts, by the time they calculate what is his worth, you know, what all he has, by that time his wealth has doubled. Amazing, no? By the time they finish calculation, it is doubled. So they couldn't actually keep a track of how much wealth he had. Huge amount of wealth. Huh? So that means he should have been very happy. Right? But that's not the story of his life. The story of his life is very sad. Very sad. He had so much fear of losing, so much fear of, you know, contracting some disease, so much fear of people thinking that people are there only to grab his wealth, that he became a very lonely recluse. To the point that actually he was living in this huge mansion, but actually not living because he was not eating anything. He used to sleep on newspapers. Huge mansion with huge bedrooms, with the most loveliest beds. But huge mansion, living on newspapers, eating nothing. Why? Because of fear of not letting anyone in. So what is the point? Yeah? So the treasure, getting this treasure is good, but so much anxiety. But once you get it, the fear of losing it. And definitely there are people who envy. I remember, I don't know if that advertisement is still there, but when I was young, there was this Onida TV. I don't know if they say the same thing now, but neighbors envy owner's pride. Yes? That owner owns it and the neighbor envies it. Right? So if anyone possesses something, then there are a lot of people envious about it. Right? So this material treasure is filled with so much anxiety. And even if you say, okay, you're talking so much negative things about it. Yeah, I mean, there are so many people who may be rich and they are not having all this fear like how this Howard Hughes has. I mean, they are like, fine. Why do you have to just keep thinking the negative thing? You know, they can still be like, you know, owners of the treasure. But for how long? But for how long? Every year, I think they have this list, right? Of the wealthiest people in the world. Number 1 to number 10. Right? So if everyone who had this material treasure always remained wealthy, then why they need to update the list every year? Why the number 1 position to number 10 keeps changing? Why the number 1 doesn't remain number 1 forever? Why? Competition. Other than that, where is the number 1 of 1950? Is he still number 1? Where is he gone? Huh? Died. So even if nobody else takes it, even if the thieves don't steal it, and the tax people don't, you know, raid your wealth, yeah, and nothing else happens, still who comes? Who comes? Death. Mr. Death. And you can't evade him. Right? You can't. So that number 1 to number 10 doesn't remain. Because whoever one is, however wealthy, has to have an appointment with Mr. Death. Right? So inevitably, that material treasure is taken off. It's just snatched off. Huh? I remember when I was in school, there was this, I don't know if many of you have not even heard the name because you are much later, but there was the United States president was Mr. Ronald Reagan. And at that time, he was so very powerful, you know. The president of the United States. And that time, United States was all his glory, not like now. Okay? So, he was a president. But where is he now? Alexander the Great. The Great. Who conquered so many lands and everything. Where is he? All the lands are here only. But where is he? Hitler. Germany is still here, right? But where is he? So time, even if nothing else snatches away this material treasure, time is a destroyer. Death just pulls you away. whether we like it or we don't like it. Just pulled off. Just snatched away. Right? So there is this beautiful example of the sand castles. You know, almost most of where I've gone to the beach, you know, we play in the beach, make these beautiful sand castles. Yes? When they are, you know, especially children, they make these beautiful, put all their energy, you know, just making this sand castles. Right? Spend so much of time beautifully making. And the parents are just watching how the child is making. Right? And slowly, as the child finishes the castle and is very happy about having built such a beautiful thing, what happens? The tide rises. The high tide comes. And what happens when the high tide comes? What happens? What happens? Someone loud. Sorry? What happens when high tide comes? You built a sand castle and it's on the shore. And what happens when the high tide comes? A wave comes. And wave comes and just finishes off completely that sand castle. It's down completely. And what does a child do? Just cries and cries. Just falls on the ground. Is so upset. That all the energy that he or she has put into that, within a stroke, everything is off. And the parents, what do they do? Do they also start crying? No. What do they do? They just smile, foolish child. Doesn't know. They say, it's okay, we can build another one. And they say, okay, it's nothing so great. Yeah? But just ponder over this. This is the story of most of our lives. All our lives, energy, everything we take to build it, decorate it, do so many things, right? So much of energy, so many of things, so much of expectations, and you make it, and what happens? One wave. Either the wave of time, death, old age, disease, or someone else comes and takes it off, and it's finished. And you feel a lot of pain. It's just treasure is just taken off, just snatched away. You can't stop that wave. When the wave is coming and you know it's coming, you can't just stop it, right? Can you? Can you hold it with your hand and try to stop it? No. That's a wave of time. Any treasure, however great, whoever, that's happened in history so far, till date, and it will keep happening. Yes? So, the power of time is so strong. And the pain that we feel, how much pain the child feels, to the extent he's attached to the sandcastle. Right? If someone was like not so attached, he just did it and he knew that at some time the wave is going to come and he's fine. Right? When it goes, he says, okay, it's gone. He may feel a little bad. But when a child is very attached, he just cries and cries. So same thing. Right? The amount of pain is directly proportional to how much we are attached to it. Yes? So this is basically, you know, in brief, what is the nature of this material treasure? Yeah. So to summarize, basically, what is the nature of this material treasure? That it is temporary. Yes. To acquire it is very difficult. It is temporary, and at the same time, it doesn't give us satisfaction. There was one sadhu who actually met a very, very wealthy man and recently. And this wealthy person, he had a lot of wealth. He was a billionaire, very rich. And he very, very frankly admitted to this sadhu that all my wealth is like an ocean of seawater. But it cannot quench my thirst. Yes? If you're very thirsty and you just go and stand there, Chapati Beach, will that water quench your thirst? It just can't quench your thirst. It's salty. Yeah? So even though it's a huge ocean, huh? Even if there is drought here, can we use that water? No. The salty water is of no use. So this man was admitting, this wealthy man, that this whole wealth that I have is just like an ocean of salt water. I rather have a small well of sweet water rather than the ocean of salt water. Yeah? That means even if it's a little wealth, but it was satisfying my heart, that would be much better. Yes? So material treasure is something which doesn't satisfy the heart. It doesn't quench the thirst. Yes? So this was basically the summary of what is material treasure, which is generally the understanding. So what all did we cover? We spoke about what is treasure, what is wealth. Basically, the wealth is the power by which we can purchase something of value, right? Something which is valuable. And all this while, we are all thinking that these objects are of value. Yes? But then what is the nature of this material treasure? That it is temporary. Yes? Either it will be taken away, stolen by someone, right? Or time will destroy everything, right? Every time you use it, it's going to keep on reducing. Yeah? And at the same time, it can never give us satisfaction because it has never given anyone satisfaction, right? Till date. If we want to explore and see ourselves, that's a different thing. Yeah? But till date, it has never given anyone satisfaction. Okay? So that is the nature of material treasure. So today, for the next few minutes that we have, we need to find out that is there some treasure which does not have these flaws? Is there some treasure which is beyond these flaws, that is not temporary, it is cannot be taken away by anyone, which will always remain with me, which will always increase? Is there some treasure like that? That is what we need to check out. Yes? So far, whatever we have heard about this material treasure, unless we think that let me seek something higher than this, we will be stuck in this mire. Yeah? We will probably be just like running from one commercial to other, thinking, oh, not this toothpaste, but another one. Not this flat, another one. This flat in Borivali is too, this, maybe I should take one in Altamount Road. Then I'll be happy. Yes? So unless we understand that this treasure has all these problems, we cannot search for something which is higher. Okay? So that was the purpose of spending the last half an hour, just understanding that what is the nature? Is it worth trying? Or should we look at something else? Because to understand how to get material treasure, you will have so many books. 10 tips to become a millionaire. Yeah? Yes? So many, right? But then what we're searching is beyond this, right? So we need to go deeper. We need to follow a race, not the rat race. We need to stop and we need to think, right? That is a characteristic of a human being. So the answer, as usual, as we repeat again and again and again, is that just like if you need to understand how a machine works, you have to consult the manual. So similarly, what is applicable for us, this machine of this human body, will be the manual. And what is a manual that we need to refer to? Is the scriptures. Scriptures are like the manual. Every washing machine, everything has a manual, right? So same way, how to live the human life, this machine also has a manual, right? And what is that manual? Those are the scriptures. Yeah? And what do the scriptures say? Do the scriptures give some idea about the treasure? The real treasure? Yes. They give lots of ideas about the real treasure. Not just ideas, but fundamental truths. Not imaginations, but realistic fundamental truths. Yes? Because who has written these, who is giving these scriptures? The person who is the creator. The person who has created this creation is telling, here is a treasure. Okay, if I enter your house, yeah, and you tell me, I know where the treasure is because it's my house, so I've kept it somewhere. I say, oh, I don't want to hear. I will search. How successful would I be? Yeah? Very, very, very less chance. Right? So same way, the Lord who has created this creation is giving where is a treasure. Okay? So the first thing in the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna explains is a basic understanding for everyone is that we are not the body, but we are the soul, the spirit soul. So the body that we see here is not the real me. I am not this body, but I am the spirit soul. I am the Atma. This understanding is the fundamental understanding to understand anything higher. If we have to go beyond the rat race, then we have to understand this basic thing. Otherwise, we can never get out of the rat race. It's impossible. This fact has to be very clear, that I am not this body, I am the soul. Right? And the food for this body is different, the food for the soul is different. It is not the same. Just like food for the car is different and the food for the driver is different. Petrol is for the gadi and thali, khana is for the driver. I can't exchange. Yes? Right? I can't give petrol to the driver and I can't give thali to the car. Right? Same way the food for the body and the food for the soul is different. And unless we give it accordingly, we cannot be satisfied. Yes? Just like a very, very nice understanding example is that of the fish. What does a fish need? What does it need? Water. Just water. And if I say, oh, what is there in water, H2O? I'll take out the fish. I'm going to keep the fish on a golden throne. I'll put the best designer jewelry on the fish. I'll put a beautiful, you know, designer dress for the fish. Will the fish be happy? No or yes? How many feel yes? Anyone feels the fish will be happy? No. Why? What does a fish need? Water. Water, just water. You don't put anything for it, the fish is happy. It just needs water. Right? The same way, the soul cannot be happy with what you provide for the body. Yeah, whatever we are trying, these material treasures are for the body. The best car, the best dress, the best house, everything is for this body, but not for the soul. So the wealth that we were talking of, which can get of value, can get all objects of value, but it cannot get happiness. It cannot purchase love. Money, wealth can purchase everything, but not happiness. It's a fundamental truth. Wealth cannot purchase happiness. Wealth cannot purchase love. Yes? And the soul is seeking for that love. Just like the fish is seeking for water. So the position of the soul is Jivera Swarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. It's seeking for love. Not just some temporary love, but eternal love. That is its constitutional position. And once that is achieved, the soul is satisfied. Just like you put that, you know, fish which is struggling, you put in water, immediately happy. Yes, immediately situated. The soul, when it connects to the Supreme Lord, connected to that love of the Supreme Lord, immediately satisfied, immediately happy. Doesn't need anything else. It just doesn't need anything else. Yes? That, the scriptures say, that is the real treasure. That is spiritual treasure. What is that? Love of God. Once one achieves that, golokera prema dhan, dhan, the treasure which is coming from the kingdom of God. So even in the Bible, Jesus mentions that. That do not put your treasure in this world because it will be taken away by rogues. I'm not sure of the wordings. But put your treasure in the kingdom of God. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. So we need to understand where is that treasure. So the real treasure, the spiritual treasure is in connection. The love of God is a real treasure. That is when the soul will be satisfied. Completely peaceful. In connection with the Supreme Lord. Yeah? So, where to search? Where do I have to search for this real treasure? Now you understand what is real treasure. That you have to connect with the Supreme Lord. The love of the Lord, love of God is the highest treasure. So where do I search for it? Where should I go? Where should I go? To the Himalayas? You don't have to go anywhere. It's situated within you, in our hearts. That is why the topic was unearth life's greatest treasure. Just unearth it within our own hearts. You see the darshan on the altar on our left hand side. Maybe if you can't see clearly now, maybe later. But there are two personalities on the left hand side. And they are raising their arms and they are dancing very blissfully, very happily. Anyone doesn't know who they are? Everybody knows who they are? On the left here? Can you raise your hands who don't know who they are on the altar? Yes. They are two personalities called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. That is Krishna and Balaram. They have come in this Kali Yuga to just break open this real treasure. Just imagine a treasure house which is filled with treasure to the brim and someone just breaks it open and just distributes it. Just take it. Whoever, wherever, just take it. So these are the two personalities. They have just broken open the treasure house and they're just distributing it. In the sense, we have to just reawaken it within our hearts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, he says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabuna. Everybody, it's just there in your hearts. It just needs to be reawakened. You just need to reawaken this treasure of love of God. And he explains that the whole story is very big, so we won't go into it because we don't have much time. But he was explaining to the Goswamis, they are also there on the altar, that they are very, very pure devotees of the Lord. And to them, Sanatan Goswami is one of the Goswamis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that the highest treasure is love of Krishna, love of the Supreme Lord. And bhakti, bhakti means devotional service, service to the Supreme Lord, getting connected. First you know, then you understand whom you have to get connected, and then you start doing. You get connected, you just start serving. That is called bhakti or devotion. And that is the highest treasure. Yes? There are many people, like, you know, in India, this is during Diwali, which is the most prominent puja that everybody does. Lakshmi Puja. Yes? Yes, everybody agrees? Lakshmi Puja. And that also nobody does. More than the house, it's more done in the office. Why? Dehi, Dehi. Dhanam Dehi. You just want to please Lakshmi Devi, please. Give me more wealth. Give me more wealth. Yes? But now we understand, what is the wealth that Lakshmi Devi has? What is it that she considers valuable? You've seen what Lakshmi Devi keeps doing? What does she keep doing? I can't hear. Yes, serve Vishnu. She's massaging continuously the lotus feet of the Lord. That is valuable for Lakshmi Devi. And for her, we are asking Dhanam Dehi, Dhanam Dehi. And only Lakshmi, we don't want Narayan. Huh? You come. Will she come? No, because she's engaged continuously serving the Lord. Yeah? So that is her wealth. The real treasure. Huh? The service, the love, in the bhakti, there's devotion to the Supreme Lord. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining. So we'll quickly, now that you've heard the whole class, even if you forget the whole class, yes, but we'll quickly just differentiate, you will differentiate, I will just count, differentiate between material treasure and spiritual treasure. Yes? So what is the first difference? Loudly, loudly, one person. Yes, material treasure is temporary and spiritual treasure is? Agreed? Okay, second. Material treasure can be stolen, it will be taken away, either someone will steal it or time will take it away, whatever, it will be lost. But spiritual treasure just cannot be taken away. That is why Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bikrama Nasosti Pratyavayo Navidyate Swalpam Apiyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobhaya. That is, even a little on this path, even little treasure you obtain. We may not become, you know, completely got that treasure, but still there is no loss. Huh? But here in the material treasure, if you've got your PhD and if you've got a lakh of rupees, then the next birth that you take, nobody says, Acha, aapka bank balance mein already 1 lakh rupees hai. We start from 1 lakh 1. Huh? It doesn't happen like that. But spiritual treasure is like that. Huh? Spiritual treasure is not lost. Huh? You finish 20%, very good. We start from 21. It's not lost. Huh? So that is the second difference. First was it's permanent. It's material treasure is temporary. Spiritual treasure is permanent. Second is that material treasure can be taken away, whereas spiritual treasure, nobody can take it away. Yes. And the third difference? Sorry? It cannot be? Yes, it cannot buy love and happiness. Material treasures cannot purchase love and happiness. But the owner of the spiritual treasure is full of joy, fully satisfied. Yes? Why? Because he has purchased the most valuable. Lakshmi Pati. Yes? Lakshmi is giver of wealth, but if you purchase her husband, Lakshmi Pati, then what do you need? Yes? And spiritual treasure, bhakti, is the only thing which can purchase the Lord. And so many instances we read from the scriptures. Yes? So, eternal joy, eternal happiness. And another difference is that material treasure, if I get a big treasure pot and I distribute to you all, then I'll have only half, no? It will reduce, correct? I start giving to people, I'll give to you, give my relatives, I'll not have much, right? So the fear of losing is always there because I'll empty it, right? Then I won't get. But spiritual treasure doesn't get exhausted at all. The more you distribute, the more is there. It multiplies. That is the uniqueness of spiritual treasure. Yes? So, Srila Prabhupada, we are very fortunate that we are sitting here and talking about spiritual treasure because someone has taken the efforts to distribute the spiritual treasure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has given us. And who has distributed it? Srila Prabhupada. You see behind Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. At the age of 70, he went out to distribute. If we get some gold coins, then we'll put it in the locker and bant. Nobody will know. Right? But he took this spiritual treasure at the ripe old age of 70, went abroad with so many hardships just to distribute the spiritual treasure. Why? Because spiritual treasure, when given, multiplies. Yeah? It never gets exhausted. So that is the difference between material treasure and spiritual treasure. and how to achieve that spiritual treasure? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabhunai Shravanadi Suddha Chitta Karile Udhai. You just have to reawaken. It's there in our heart, this treasure. We just have to dig a little, reawaken a little. How? By chanting and hearing. When we hear the holy names of the Lord and we chant the holy names of the Lord, like just before this class started, already you have earned a lot of wealth. Because you all were hearing the holy name and chanting the holy name. Already the spiritual treasure is built up so much without our knowledge. So, and another difference is that material treasure, not everybody gets. I may work very, very hard, but I may not get it. Right? But spiritual treasure, everyone, anyone can achieve it. So, this is the real treasure that we are looking out for. And this is the real treasure which can actually give happiness. But, the last thing. Now when you leave this room, please don't go back to your parents and say, oh, you know, I heard that all this is material, you're sending me to college and, you know, and you do this to me and, you know, all this is material treasure. Now, don't talk to me about material treasures. I am only behind real treasure. So don't tell me to study for exams and, you know, don't tell me to do this because I am behind spiritual treasure and your treasure is temporary. Okay? Now, this is a deeper understanding that just like if you have a zero, 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 I may put as many number of zeros. Will that have any value? As many zeros, I may put 20, 30 zeros, no value, right? But before those zeros, if I put a 1, then does it have a value? Yes. Then it becomes every zero has a value after that. It's 10, 100, 1000. So same way, whatever our possessions are, our education may be, or your assets, your abilities, whatever we possess, whatever we have been given, all that, when we put Krishna as that one in front of all those zeros, otherwise they're all zeros because they're going to be lost. Our education, our wealth, everything was going to be taken away. But before that, if we put that one, that is Krishna, then each of them have value. Why? Because you are going to convert that material treasure into spiritual treasure when we use it in the service of the Lord. Then it is Krishnaized. Then each of them have value. So our purpose is to accept whatever is there and engage it, convert it into a spiritual treasure by using it to increase our love for Krishna. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada and to all the acharyas for actually giving us this glimpse into what is the real treasure. Thank you very much for your very, very patient hearing and for participating so nicely in this discussion. And I also would like to thank the organizers for